Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I'm Sister Tracy.
And I'm Sarah Denny.
And today, you know, I can't believe it. This is our last podcast of the season.
It is.
Boo-hoo, but yay.
I mean, really?
This
is a double
this is life.
Experience of emotions because not only is it the last one, so we are pretty sad about that. However,
oh my gosh,
we have a guest today that, as a close friend of Sister Tracy, myself, there's this other close friend of Sister Tracy that she has talked to me about as long as I've known her.
Mm-hmm.
And we, honestly, I feel like we've saved the best for last.
I know. So I would love to welcome Cindy Layard, who is joining us from Virginia on the phone. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi there. Thank you.
We're just so happy that you're with us today. Cindy and I have been friends for quite a few years. We've mm-hmm. known each other for a long time. And God, I think, really just put us together at one point and we became friends. And then we had a little space of time where we weren't really seeing each other too often. And then God brought us back together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that it's been a big, big, beautiful gift for me. And just inviting you here to be on the podcast with us on the show, to me, just testifies once again to how when we live our life with the Lord, He can just do amazing things. And sometimes through almost distressing disguise of craziness.
That's a really good way to put it.
So, Cindy, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you find yourself now? Because, I mean, you know, I invited you on, and I know that it's always kind of a step in the dark whenever you get interviewed on any kind of show. But just tell us a little bit about who you are and, you know, where you are today.
Sure. So I grew up here in Virginia for the most part, and just in summary, I spent some time in the convent, and then God directed me elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And over the years, kind of around the time, probably like 16 years ago or so, I started struggling with my health. And over the years, that has just kind of progressed, kind of in some ways in a downward direction and in other ways in a very positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what I do is kind of around some chronic health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I work full-time for Cardinal Newman Society in Virginia, and I love my family, I love my friends, and I love children. So mm-hmm. while I don't have any of my own, I'm always grateful to be able to spend time with my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, in short, what I'm doing and where I am now.
Mm-hmm. And Cindy, I one of the things I think is so worth sharing and you know, letting our listeners know about is that over time, I just started to, you know, I knew that there were certain things that you did have physically that were health issues. And I think part of it was, for me, just kind of coming to understand what it is that you are dealing with. So, in, you know, for us lay girls or lay people, to understand a little bit more about what it is that you are contending with as far as your physical limits.
Sure. So I have a condition where pretty much my stomach and my GI tract don't work. And so while most people eat for their nutrition and drink for their hydration, I'm not able to get enough nourishment by mouth, mm-hmm. hardly any nourishment by mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a central line that is kind of tunneled in my chest that sits right at the tip of the heart. And I get my calories, all 2,300 of them every day, over 12 hours, right directly into the blood. And with it comes a lot of complications. You mm-hmm. know, with the central line, there's always infection risks. And I also have a condition that's kind of been causing some bleeding in the small intestine. And so I'm kind of chronically anemic, depending very much on the life of others in a very real way for my own life, as much as I depend on God, or not quite as much as I depend on God, but yeah, so that's kind of in a nutshell what it is.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's always amazed me is that you live without eating. Tell us about that. Like, I mean, you know, what is that like? Because I think we all, you know, most of us know what it's like to skip a meal or to have a fast day. But you know, how can a person live without taking food by mouth?
Right. So that's a great question. And through my IV nutrition, I get everything that you get. It's kind of a programmed way of getting nutrition. It's not an ideal way, but I get all the protein and nutrients and stuff like that for the most part that I need. But it is very different because so much in our society revolves around food and eating and meals. And so at first I thought, you know, when I was first diagnosed and eating was such an issue, for me, I can take little bites. I don't absorb them, but mostly if I have too many little bites, it's just like constantly having the flu, in a sense. There's just nausea, vomiting, achiness. It's just it's very uncomfortable. And so for me at this point, I'm much happier not having food, and I find that it's more difficult almost for other people to for me to be present. And, you know, sometimes I'll get the questions, well, why, like, are you dieting? Are you, don't you want to eat this? You know, so usually I'll just, if I'm somewhere socially, I'll just have a couple bites of something on a plate or carry a drink around. And, but for the most part, it's a very different way of living and interacting with food in particular. Yeah. And I love food. I just, it doesn't love me right now. And in the meantime, we're evaluating for a transplant, which is kind of interesting, a small bowel and possibly more GI organ because transplant to try to help.
Right. Because if I remember correctly, the stomach, though, is not something that can be transplanted, as far as I understood.
Right. So it's not considered essential. So they don't typically transplant it if it's just stomach. But if they're going to transplant an essential organ and the surrounding ones aren't working, then sometimes they'll you know, go ahead and transplant the stomach and the large bowel along with it. For me, none of those really work. So it will be interesting to see what route they finally make a determination on.
So, Cindy, it sounds like the condition that you have, I mean, not that long ago, I feel like you probably wouldn't have even had this many options. Right. I mean, just in terms of medically.
Right. Like it's been, 16 years, and we've exhausted a lot of options. Pretty much by, 2012, we were kind of into more experimental options for trying to find ways to manage, you know, to manage the nutritional status along with the symptoms and, you know, still find ways so that I can work. My insurance, you know, I get through my office. So that's, and plus working for me is just a great coping mechanism. Just, you know, rather than staying home and just, you know, being at home, just to be out and around people. And I mean, there are days where I just can't, and I do work remote when I need to. But for me, that's one thing that really helps me in dealing with everything is to, get dressed and just kind of go with the day and go out and give a smile and get a smile.
Yeah. And so, Cindy, my next question, I mean, the whole time you've been talking, I'm in awe. I know that you're not perfect, and I know that you have days that I'm certain you struggle, and it can be very dark spiritually and psychologically. However, you were talking to us, and I'm like, wow, you're living what it is when people say, like, just show up. Like, it's always best to just show up. Like, I feel like you must have quite the will, because you intentionally have to choose so often when it would I'm sure, be a heck of a lot easier not to. Mm. Like, to just show up to the reality in front of you and to the commitments that you've made and to the people that are in your life. Can you share a little bit about that, what that's like?
Sure. You know, and it kind of makes me think of years back. It wasn't like this for me. And I mean, the symptoms were a little bit more manageable, but I was really angry at God for it all.
Yeah,
and so I would pray and pray and pray, like, God, take this away, heal me of this. I go on a pilgrimage here, a pilgrimage there for healing from the physical ailment. And through it all, it's kind of like healing specifically that God would take it away. And over the years, I think God really gave healing. It was just in other ways and in making it bearable. And so just every day I just pray for whatever his will is. And it's really done a lot for me to, like, he's kind of forced me to work on areas in my life where I really wanted to take control, because it's hard to be prepared when it's a condition that is so unexpected. You know, I think about my family and my friends and how, you know, in some ways they never know. Like, I'll get up and I'll pray and I offer God my day, and I go out like I'm going to go to work and I have my agenda, and then the next thing I know, I'm in the ER and in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I'm like, Mom, we got to go. I need a ride, you know. And it's just, for me, I just have to keep kind of committing myself to trust in God and to look almost in hindsight that he always has been faithful and kind of taken care of me. And then just to keep going.
Wow. You know, I'm thinking as you're talking, I remember you mentioned to me, this was probably a few years ago, you know, when you told me what it was. It's gastroparesis. That's one of the things, right? Gastroparesis.
Right, yes.
And that many times when people get diagnosed with this, there is a tremendous sense of hopelessness, because it's such a debilitating sickness. I mean, it does kind of paralyze your inner organs, and there's a lot you know, in a sense, things just go take a downward turn. So when we come back after the break, we want to continue just talking about how that shift in your heart happened, and how, you know, you just kind of come and face each moment of each day and where you get your strength to do that. So we're going to be talking more with Cindy Layard after the break, and we hope that you come back and join us, and we'll see you then.
Do you spend too much time on your smartphone? Hi, this is Erin Franco with the Catholic Mom Minute. Playgrounds, doctor's offices, in the car, in our home, so many of us are constantly on our smartphones instead of being present to our family or the people around us. Our actions as parents speak louder than our words. We can tell our kids what is important in life, but ultimately how we spend our own time tells them what's really valuable. Here are some great ideas I've used to unplug from my phone and plug back into my family. First, change your phone settings to turn off notifications for texts and emails. Consider deleting apps and games that always suck you in. And turn off auto logins so that it takes just a little longer to get onto your social media accounts. Detaching from our phones can be surprisingly tough. Don't forget to ask God for a little help too. I'm Erin Franco at CatholicMomMinute.com.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise. I am Sarah Denny, joined here with my dear friend, Sister Tracy. And today we have a guest, one of Sister Tracy's closest friends, Cindy Layard. And she has been sharing with us just what is the reality of someone who is walking through life and has a severe medical condition that she cannot run away from.
Yeah.
Every single day, Cindy, you have to deal with this, and you have to, it sounds like through the years, learning how to love yourself by loving your body and by being honest about what you can and cannot do, which for you, because it's a condition of your GI tract in your stomach, it involves what we do every day and we take for granted, I think, in a lot of ways, which is eating and drinking. So, you know, earlier as you were sharing I was just thinking, like, you have, I mean, the reality is you have so many big and little things, it sounds like, daily that you have to be aware of and that are sufferings. And I'm sure, you know, our listeners, we're all in different places in life, but we've had those experiences and we go through seasons where when things are suffering and it's hard, there's, I feel like almost this mourning process, we have to go through like a grieving period. Mm-hmm. And I know in my own life, and Sister Tracy has shared, like, we go through these times when we're maybe angry at God and we're reacting against that and just trying to figure this out. But he can handle that because he's a father and he wants us to relate to mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And then also I'm thinking with that, like, I'm sure you've had those dark places, but then now it sounds like, as you've been talking with this last segment, you have so much at your fingertips that it sounds like you're a woman who clearly does not let that go to waste. Like, the power of intercession in your life, that you, like, your mission here on earth, I know I can't speak into that, I don't know you well, but I'm listening to your story and I'm amazed. And I know you probably yourself would be like, Sarah, it's not that amazing, because you sound really humble too.
But it
but
is.
I'm like, I'm amazed, because it's like you're not letting your struggles or your sufferings go to waste. And I was just wondering, just anything there that you'd want to share about, if you could just let our listeners in kind of to what that reality is like for you, because I know it's not easy.
Sure. So several years back, it is a difficult illness, I guess, to live with, or at least it can be. And I was very angry at God, and I kind of pretty much said, you know, Lord, I'm just kind of done. So I did kind of take a break from him for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I tried, but he's very pursuing, and he doesn't give up. Mm-hmm. And so when I started kind of trying to delve deeper then and build my relationship with him, since I couldn't run from him, I started thinking, all right, well, fine, I'm back with you, Lord, but kind of wanting it on my terms, then heal me. You know, mm-hmm. this isn't, I shouldn't have to have this. This is too hard. I can't do it. Heal me. And so that's what I would pray. I'd pray just that God would heal me. And I'd go on pilgrimages to be healed and ask people to be healed, that I could be healed. And over the years, heal me specifically of the physical ailment. Because I will tell you, he answered all those prayers. He healed me in a lot of other ways. But I still have the gastroparesis, and my GI tract is far worse today than it ever was before. But one thing, too, that was difficult for me as I started kind of renewing my relationship with God, and praying more, and I would get frustrated because all day long my day revolves around me. Like, I get up and I'm like, okay, what do I need? What medical supplies do I need for my day? Where am I going to be over the next so many hours? Because I put IV medications into the line at least every 4 hours. You have to sterilize it with alcohol really well to help prevent infection. And, you know, I'll hook up my nutrition, and over the last several months, hook up pretty much nonstop IV antibiotics.
Cindy, then, right? We have people to understand that this goes right into your heart, right? So this is like you're always,
and then it pumps out through the rest of the body right away.
So the sterilization is like, it's life or death, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And so there are all these components to my day. And then am I going to go out somewhere? Is there going to be a bathroom nearby? Because I'll have nausea and vomiting, sometimes nonstop almost. Mm-hmm. And so planning all of that would throw me deeper into myself. And finally, I was talking to the very wise priest about it once, and he suggested making an intention for every little thing that I do for, you know, my nourishment and keeping myself alive in a sense, to put an intention for it. So don't like just clean the line, make that cleaning of the line for somebody. Then the flush that goes in, make the flush for somebody. Then when you put the antibiotic in, make the antibiotic, so that every component of it was you know, offered for somebody. And it made, that's one thing that made my life so much more pleasant. Is just, is having, you know, it gave more meaning to it than just, you know, these useless tasks that are frustrating me because they're interruptions in my day. Mm-hmm. So instead, they kind of become more opportunities of prayer throughout my day, and I still have to plan around them, but the attitude around it is so much more positive. Mm-hmm. And God has really blessed me so much, too, because I know a lot of people are always praying for me, and I think He's answering their prayers as well, not necessarily in the physical healing, but in little inspirations that make everything else easier. And just like little things, even like the Hail Mary. One day out of the blue, it dawned on me that the Hail Mary says now and at the hour of our death. And I'm like, well, why didn't I think of that? You know, I've been praying this prayer for 43 years almost. And why didn't, like, that one phrase just somehow made the relationship with Mary so much more real and personal, because I have been almost at that hour of our death, and that gives me great comfort to pray for that and know that even if I am not always thinking of her or prayer in really difficult moments, that kind of covers it in a way. I don't know.
Like, she's there with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say too, that I think one of the things that anybody who's been blessed, who knows you and gets to see you and talk to you, is that, you know, you've gone very close to death's door multiple times, and almost like it's unbelievable that you come through it. And, you know, and the other thing is, like, if you'd look, just listening to you, I think no one would ever guess that you've really almost died at least 5 times, if not more. And that you have, like, when I look at you, it's not like you're skin and bones and, you know, gray and, you know, with the idea that we might have. So there's something that's like otherworldly about your still being here with us. Like, there is an intention in your being here, and that there's a purpose that I think, whether you feel it or not, everybody who knows you certainly feels it. And I don't know, I just feel like it's such a gift for those that know you. And I think a lot of it comes through this depth of offering that you make, even in the mundane or the stuff that seems like, oh, here we go again, you know, I got to deal with this. Would you share that story that you told me the other day about that time you were driving with your niece?
Oh, yeah. So my niece and I, she's 6, and we were on our way to church one Sunday a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden, I'm driving along the parkway, and I start, like, starting to shake. And I've been having issues with recurring sepsis, like blood infections, from some gut bacteria translocating into my bloodstream. And so I pull over, and I put the car in park, and I call my parents, and in the meantime, my fever is going higher and higher, which causes kind of like really bad shaking sometimes, like horrible chills, like uncontrollable chills, if you think of that. And so I'm like, oh no, Lord, here I am with the 6-year-old in the back seat. We're pulled over on the side of the road, and, you know, I call my parents and they're coming to help, but still it's going to be 15 minutes or 20 minutes before they can get there. I call the doctor and he's like, you got to go to the ER. So I'm sitting there, and I'm almost throwing up, but nothing's coming out, so I'm just kind of burping. And I look back, and she has her arm up against the window looking out the other direction. And I'm thinking, oh, no, Lord, this is horrible. Like, how traumatic for her. And come to find out, she was thought that it was so funny, the burping she was, but she didn't want to be making fun of me. So she was trying to hide that she was laughing. And so I'm praying, oh, you know, one, thanking God that he pulled, you know, it all happened and I could pull over and nothing happened while I was driving. And at the then, the same time, my chills are getting worse. My teeth are chattering and I'm starting to almost like bite parts of my tongue. And so I grab her blanket and throw it in my mouth to keep it so that I don't, you know, bite myself. Yeah. And she's just laughing more and more. And I'm like, please, Lord, just make this as funny as possible for this little one who is just such a gift and blessing too. But he really does. He always, you know, makes it work out. I mean, I have to be responsible too. And if I know that I'm, if I was already like that, I wouldn't have driven her anywhere, obviously. But, you know, sometimes things come up so quickly and so fast, and I'm fine when I go to do it. And then in the moment, I just get really sick. And it's just always, it's just so clear that his hand is always in it, because I'm always somewhere where there's somebody who can help me, or like God can kind of give a humor to the situation so that it's not horribly traumatic. And
I think
it's just really amazing.
It's
how
amazing.
He works.
Yeah. And I think, oh, I wish we had like another hour to talk to you, but we're just so grateful for you and for, the ways that you are really reflecting a faith in God's providence and personal, presence to you.
Yeah. And Cindy, before we start just sort of our closing prayer, I was wondering if you could give a piece of advice, just maybe 30 seconds or less, to someone who's in a dark place and they don't even know maybe how to reach out, like what kind of a word of encouragement and just something practical maybe you could offer to someone.
I would just say, like, not to give up, and not to give up on God, not to give up on prayer, because he is there even in the darkness. And sometimes it takes a while to get to the light or to see the light, but he is there. And I think about sometimes when I would just kind of think, I'm not going to pray anymore because God's not giving me what I want. And then in retrospect, seeing how much he was giving, even in the darkness, that there is a light shining there.
Beautiful.
And to know that so many other people are praying for them.
Yes.
And me too, because I'll keep praying for your listeners as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. And so just in closing, as we always lift up in prayer, this is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. And it says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just praise and thank you for the gift of Cindy. We ask you to bless her, Lord, with wisdom and also with your spirit of peace that surpasses all understanding. And we also thank you, Lord, for the gift of this season together, the season that Sister Tracy and I have been able to share with our listeners, for each of our listeners, for all those who are working just behind this show. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring to completion the good work that you have begun in each one of us, and give us the grace to know that we cannot get in the way of the good work that you're performing in our lives.
Your grace is so sufficient, Lord, and we just put our faith in you, our trust in you, and we thank you. We just, our hearts are full of gratitude. And we're grateful for all of you for listening. We thank you for being with us, and that invite others to share the podcast with others so that this word of God can reach them as well. God bless you, and we'll hopefully see you again next season.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.